Listeners like you make living on Earth possible each week. Please contribute today by clicking on the donate link to the left of the page. And thanks.
Dr. Bernard Lown's home in Newton, Massachusetts is filled with memories. He keeps many of them in 85 large scrapbooks.
Look, Allen Ginsberg was my patient. Look, Lawrence Ferlinghetti.
Poets, politicians, painters, and celebrities, over the span of his career as a world-renowned cardiologist, 87-year-old Dr. Lown has treated them all. Among the 5,000 books in his home is Dr. Lown's first, The Lost Art of Healing, Practicing Compassion in Medicine. He's professor emeritus at the Harvard School of Public Health and the inventor of the heart-starting defibrillator.
I was very successful medically. I developed a host of instruments. I revolutionized part of cardiology, and I was riding high, and I was concerned with the issue of sudden death.
For people and the planet. In 1985, Dr. Lown won the Nobel Prize, not for medicine, but for peace, sharing the honor with Soviet cardiologist Yevgeny Chasov. Together, they founded International Physicians for the Prevention of Nuclear War. Dr. Lown chronicles the history of the organization in his new book, Prescription for Survival, A Doctor's Journey to End Nuclear Madness. It's a behind-the-scenes look at the Cold War drama played out on a world stage with a who's who's list of characters, their photos featured in the foyer of Dr. Lown's home.
This is my first meeting with Gorbachev. That's Cardinal Medeiros. That is the great scientist Viktor Weisskopf. And this is Kuzin, who takes Chaz's place. And this
There's Fidel Castro with Dr. Lown, the King of Jordan, Leonid Brezhnev, and in the place of honor, an original photograph of Albert Einstein.
Life is full of contradictions. The good frequently do bad, and the bad sometimes do good.
It was Albert Einstein on August 2, 1939, who sent a letter to FDR, telling the president that uranium could be split to produce a bomb more powerful than anything ever created, and warning that Nazi scientists were working on one. 2 years later, a day before Pearl Harbor was attacked, the United States started what would become known as the Manhattan Project. 3 years after that, on August 6, 1945, the U.S. dropped an atom bomb on Hiroshima, Japan.
Tokyo admits extensive damage caused by the atomic bomb at Hiroshima. New air attacks have been thrown against Japan. Washington and other allied capitals are buzzing with speculation about the new bomb and its possibilities.
3 days later, the U.S. dropped another atomic bomb on Nagasaki. The two bombs killed an estimated 200,000 people, the overwhelming majority civilians.
A nuclear weapon is an instrument of genocide. It's not a weapon of war. Whom does it kill? It kills not only people, culture, environment. It destroys everything. Such a weapon is a Hitlerite weapon. And we, democratic people, with a deep moral sense that we pride ourselves, have such weapons stockpiled.
When you won the Nobel Prize in 1985... how many nuclear weapons were there?
There were, at the time, about 16,000 megatons, roughly 50,000 nuclear weapons. A megaton is 1 million tons of TNT. Now, 1 million tons of TNT would take a train 400 miles long to transport. We had enough destructive capacity to kill everybody alive 20 times over.
Today, 23 years later, after you won the Nobel, how much megatonnage is there? How many nuclear weapons?
We have roughly about 15,000, we and the Russians. But it doesn't matter, because we have enough to destroy the world. What does it matter when you have a capacity to destroy the world? Twice or five times?
But my question to you is, 23 years after you've won the Nobel Prize, we still have this incredible capacity to commit mass genocide and suicide. Have you succeeded or did you fail?
Well, both. We succeeded in the fact that instant extinction is not on the agenda. Did we eliminate nuclear weapons? Of course not. But did we teach a lot of people understanding and create a deterrence to their use? Yes, because we gave them an image of what would happen. We gave them an image in terms of fire, destruction, radiation. We have, in essence, gained time for human beings.
Tell me about the co-founder of the International Physicians for the Prevention of Nuclear War, Yevgeny Chazov.
Chazov is the ultimate doctor. He wanted to develop cardiology in Russia to the level of what he knew to be in the United States, which he respected enormously. And he was a consummate doctor.
And a consummate politician. Among Dr. Chazov's patients were members of the Soviet Politburo. Between them, the two doctors had personal and professional relationships with some of the major players of the Cold War. Within just 5 years, their organization, International Physicians for the Prevention of Nuclear War, had grown to 150,000 doctors worldwide. But they had enemies as well. The Wall Street Journal called Dr. Laun a tool of the communists and said he and Dr. Chazov didn't deserve the Nobel Peace Prize.
The day before you're getting the Nobel Prize in Norway, it's December 9th, 1985, right. And some photojournalist, a cameraman, winds up having a heart attack. You wind up with Chazov saving his life.
Look at the serendipity, the coincidence. We are reviled in the press. We're sitting in a press conference. It's filled with journalists red-baiting, attacking as viciously as you can imagine, Chazov primarily. In this packed news conference, a Russian journalist is raising his hand. And next I look around, he's on the floor. He's collapsed. Chazov and I were next to him. And I've dealt with sudden death all my life. I recognize it as a cardiac arrest. It is clear to any doctor. And the place is also full of doctors. So we start pumping on his chest and ventilating him. And the rescue team is slow in coming. They come late. And there they roll in the very cardioverter defibrillator I developed. And to me, I'm living in some other world. This couldn't happen by chance. And they shock him, and he doesn't recover, and the body is let out. As they rolled him out, one of the American doctors says, let's give him another shock. They did, and he came back. And I almost in tears say, look, what you have just seen is what doctoring is all about and what our movement is all about. When somebody is threatened with cardiac arrest, we don't ask who they are, what they do, what their politics are. We try to save a human life, and now we're trying to save the life of this world.
Well, we now have this business of nuclear weapons that is a $1 trillion business, that we're still very much in business, and still has the potential to destroy the planet and everything on it many, many times over.
But the good news is that in the Wall Street Journal a year ago, Shultz, Kissinger, Nunn, Perry, and others, who were architects, essentially, of this age, the nuclear age, are having second thoughts. Look, now, many conservatives are coming around to believe in global warming, right? All of these could have been foreseen. And I, as a doctor, realize that cure is not the answer. The answer is prevention. And prevention is anticipation, is analysis. You have to know the past. And Orwell makes a marvelous statement. He says, whoever controls the past controls the future. And whoever controls the present controls the past.
Dr. Bernard Laun's book, Prescription for Survival, is an attempt to preserve the past. To write it, he tried to get his files from the federal government.
Look.
And he got them.
Look.
Sort of.
That's page after page after page. Totally blacked out. Nothing there.
There's nothing there. The only word on the page is secret classified by G-3. That's it.
Yeah. I just got a report a few months ago from the Freedom of Information, from NSA, FBI, CIA, saying we regard it as against national security to divulge to you your file.
I mean, here you are, a physician, trying to prevent the use of nuclear weapons. What kind of threat could you be?
Why are you asking me? Why aren't you asking the CIA that question? I mean, you're asking me. I'm the victim.
You know, you're not just a witness to history. You made history. You changed history.
Well, I didn't view myself other than a doctor who's trying to heal a sick planet.
Dr. Bernard Laun, co-founder of International Physicians for the Prevention of Nuclear War, recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize, and author of the new book, Prescription for Survival, A Doctor's Journey to End Nuclear Madness. Next, Living on Earth, a rapidly spreading grass from Ethiopia threatens Arizona's iconic cacti.
This grass burns very vigorously with very tall flame, and it's easily able to destroy a house and all the plants, including saguaros, around it.
An invasive plant puts our national parks at risk. Next time on Living on Earth.